Numbers 16, verses 41 to 42. Incredible. I don't know what title to give this little discourse. Incredible. Let me explain. This gang of men have got together against Moses and Aaron. They want the priesthood, and they've been grasping after it. Now God has intervened with a tremendous judgment. Moses has pleaded for the people, separating them from this gang and protected them from the wrath of God. Not the first time. He's done it over and over. He's protected his people. God has said to Moses, I'll destroy them and start again with you. And Moses said, no, save this people for your own name's sake. He's pleaded on behalf of this people. And again, he has been the instrument of delivering this people. So how do you think they'll react? You think they'd be all over Moses, grateful to him, and realize how serious everything had been. Don't forget, the people were in panic before. Don't forget, when they saw the judgment coming, they thought they were going to go down alive into the pit with these rebels. So how do they react to Moses? The next day, the whole Israelite community, the whole of them, all of them, what do? They grumble against Moses and Aaron. Not again. Not again. And listen to what they said. You have killed the Lord's people. Yeah, it was the Lord's hand that did it. It was the Lord that had intervened. It was a sovereign act of God, and they saw that. What incredible position. What audacious response here. It's breathtaking to me. Yet again, Israel rebelling right at this moment. I can't believe it. It's there in the scriptures, but it's incredible. It's not Moses and Aaron alone either, of course. It's against the Lord. You have killed the Lord's people, they said. And the assembly gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron, verse 42. Well, I have to say, I feel like the disciples when Christ said, one of you is going to betray me. I have to say, Lord, is it I? Is it me? Am I the one? I want that kind of spirit. Lord, search me. See if there's any wicked way in me. I'm criticizing the Hebrews. I don't want to be guilty of it myself. I don't want to go their way. Such ingratitude. Such audacity. Such playing with the truth. It's not Moses that's done it. It's God that's judged this people. They've turned this thing right on its head. And of course, in previous discourses, we've seen that the people were in panic. They were frightened out of their wits. In verse 34, for example, they were frightened to death. They all fled, shouting, the earth is going to swallow us up. That they were terrified. They were as bold as brass today, though. How quickly this fear, this panic had evaporated. Remember the old hymn, the early dews of morning have passed away by noon. No wonder the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Beware of procrastination, unbeliever. You can be afraid today, tears today, afraid to die. Afraid of the judgment, but you won't turn to Christ, and the devil will make sure you delay. The delay is the way. It's the Satan's ploy to delay. And then, of course, it fades away. You can see that the judgment here, these special signs and marks of God's judgment, didn't convert this people. They were still rebellious. What they needed was a new heart. In fact, they grow more bold with their sin. How quickly the effects of judgment and fear pass away. They become mockers and arrogant and bitter. Really, it's a dreadful thing. How temporary these things are. People think you show people the effect of smoking, and that puts people off smoking. It does for 5 minutes. A road accident makes people drive slower for 2 minutes, and then, you know, it wears off. The gospel comes. People feel the call of the gospel. They mean to respond. They're going to, and then it just fades away. But the warnings are there. These people need a new heart. No wonder the Bible is full of the new covenant. Jeremiah 31, Isaiah has got it, Ezekiel has got it, regeneration. We need this new heart. It's the same today. Unbelievers can sit under the gospel. They can like it. They can be moved by it. They can agree with it. They can disagree with it, and whatever it might be. But until God regenerates them, they never will come. These Hebrews show it. You can be afraid. You can be crying. You can be sorry. But you can be arrogant as well. It was directed against Moses and Aaron. But it was God. They're called the Lord's people in verse 41. They're called the Lord's people. You have killed the Lord's people. But they weren't the Lord's people, that gang. And I begin to wonder whether these people are themselves the Lord's people. It was gathering in opposition against Moses. These people are stupid. They're arrogant. They're deceiving themselves. They're deluding themselves. Nothing but God's mercy, and by his Spirit, the sovereign regenerating power of the Spirit, can bring men to Christ. Remember what Christ says in Luke 16. You remember the man says, oh, send somebody back from the dead. Now, that'll persuade the people. Jesus said, if one should rise from the dead, they will not believe. If they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe even in the resurrection. And so it is. Christ is raised, so what do people do? They begin to explain it away. Oh, God, have mercy upon us. Is it not incredible? The Hebrews, an incredible reaction. Unbelievers under the gospel and not converted, incredible. Oh, we must think about these things and be moved by these things. We must be born again. Unless we have a new heart, we will never repent and trust Christ. But God gives a new heart. 1 Corinthians 2, Ephesians 2, 1 to 3, and on into 4, 5, and 6. But grace comes. May God have mercy upon us. And may many, many more be regenerated, given such a heart that they may yield to Christ. And not just be moved externally, but inwardly be hardened and turn against God. You see it with the Hebrews. May God warn us by this. May we heed the warning. For Christ's sake, amen.